You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed. So there is this question that is always asked. This question is often asked, and I believe that Pastor Michael Mafora will help us to answer it today. Can I lose my salvation? And Christians from all walks of life, we need a clearer answer to this question, because their assurance, peace, and joy depends on it. Can I lose my salvation? That's the only question we have for today. Well, others will come through, but that's the main question that we are having today. Mfo, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Can you hear me?
Lovely. Loud and clear.
I'm sorry. I don't know this place where I am. Someone is... He's washing my car and I'm sitting inside. But anyway, it's always great to be here and to discuss with you the issues pertaining to salvation. You talk to me. What's happening today?
Before we start, Mfundisi, you know the order of the day. Let us pray. Yes. For us. Pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the presentation of today, the discussion, and the privilege to do so. We pray that you help us understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundis, can I lose my salvation? That is one the question we have today. Can one lose their salvation?
I don't know where you get your questions from, but...
Holy Spirit.
That's okay. Let's explain what that is in the first place without the long examples. I know what you mean, but the English that you used there will help me try and run away as fast as I can.
Okay.
The assumption that it is your salvation. Needs to be paddle beated a bit.
Yeah.
It is the one who gives, who makes it difficult for us to lose it.
Okay.
But the possibility of losing it is there. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Number one, it's possible to lose your salvation.
Okay.
But then at the same time, the one who gives the salvation will make it impossible for you to lose your salvation. Now, I know I'm going to say something that is very sensitive, and people may not agree with me fully, which is understandable. Our listeners are allowed to engage if they feel Mfundisi may have taken it the other way. But let me say that the minute when you lose your salvation, then you are not saved at all. Because if one has received salvation... I'll give you an example. We have a man called Judas Iscariot. He was part of the 12 disciples. One thing we do know, even if Jesus loved him that much, but we do know for a fact that he hadn't been fully converted. If you are fully converted, it is impossible for you to lose yourself, because the power of the salvation power, the saving power of Christ, is so powerful that it will take a lot for you to eventually lose it. But let me also add the statement that it is possible, by the way. There are many people that once walked with God, but then they ceased to walk with him later. But because, remember, people have that power of choice. People can choose what they want to do and what they do not want to do. So, when Christ offers his salvation, he does not take it back. When he gives it, remember, it's a gift. When he gives us the gift of salvation, he offers it to us, and we have a decision whether to accept it or to reject it. Okay. But as time goes on, people go through different experiences with God, and there are some times where they are heavily tested to the extent that some people believe that surely the Lord has forsaken them. And they end up trying to make, or they end up moving to that level where they end up deciding no longer to put their trust in God anymore. And they begin to work on their own. And by so doing, they finally lose their salvation in Christ. But for those who linger on, those that are patient, those who will continue holding on, they may never lose your salvation, their salvation. So to answer you briefly, it is both yes and no, because a person can lose their salvation. There's a possibility because of the decisions that they can make. They have the power to decide whether they want to continue or not. But the love of God is so beautiful, so compelling, and so great that it is almost impossible for one to lose their salvation. Almost impossible for one to lose their salvation.
And you know why we were asking this one, Mpundiswami? It's because most of the times we know there's this thing we call backsliding, where a person is saved, they do all of these things, and then things happen, and then they backslide. Not necessarily denouncing God, but they are not at the standing in which they were in. Whilst others, they do that, and then they're like, God does not exist, or I don't believe in this God. And then now they come back after some time, they're like, yes, Jesus is Lord. You know, we have those two circumstances, scenarios there. And also what comes to my mind is that if it's a yes and no, let me go with the no. Once saved, always saved, right? Doesn't that allow or open gates for us to abuse the grace of the salvation?
Well, this is why I said it's like it's a case of a marriage. The one who commits in a marriage never intends to divorce. No one has committed to a marriage with the intention to divorce, except for those who just scam people for their money. But for those who genuinely join up in the whole matrimony, they do so with their full expectation that nothing is going to happen. They will be together forever, which is debatable as well to a certain extent. But what I want to enforce, or what I want to buttress, there are people who backslide. That is true. But like I said, it's because of their experiences with God. It's what they go through in life when they meet up or when they face up with different challenges. It is in those challenges that then they are misinformed as to the character of God in situations like that. They then do not know what to do, which makes it difficult for them because of a lack of faith. Then it makes them to lose their walk with Christ. Number two, if there is nothing like once saved, always saved. Okay. Because remember, we said it is almost impossible. Mm. And if you know me by now, I'm very careful with my English. Mm. I don't just use words just like that. It is almost impossible. I'm not denying the fact that it is possible for people to lose their walk with Christ. Mm. It is very much possible. But I'm talking of genuine conversion. Mm. Those who are genuinely converted, it will take a lot for them to finally give up on Christ. Mm. It would have been a great scandal for them to finally give up on Christ. But to some who are genuinely converted, the great problems that they face through, they love the Lord to the extent of death. That's why Revelation 10 says, be thou faithful unto death. And that's why Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? There is nothing. There is nothing, sisters and brothers. Be it afflictions, be it be whatever. According to Paul, there is nothing that can make anyone lose their salvation. It's not possible. It's almost not possible. But for one to make that decision, it would have taken a lot, number one. Number two, there may have been cracks in their salvation, and they may not have understood fully what salvation is. They may not have been converted to the fullest. But for those who have been, it's almost impossible for them to lose it. Because like you are saying, people would abuse if they know that God forgives, God understands. People would abuse that. It's unfortunate we're living in the post Old Testament life. People don't have a personal experience or relationship with God, or they don't have a physical manifestation of God where they can literally see the Shekinah glory and and Dathan and Korah complaining and the earth opening up and swallowing them up at that moment. People have not yet had an experience of who God is. They, you see, I don't know how I can put it. You see, the modern day Christian does not I think the modern day Christian is spoiled, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
The modern day Christian is spoiled for the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Mm. That we are living in times when it is almost difficult for us to see. See, guys, in the Old Testament, it was difficult, yes, but they didn't know about salvation in its fullest sense. They didn't have Jesus Christ having to have died. They had to look for animals and go with them. They didn't have this Bluetooth kind of a 21st kind of salvation where wherever you are, you can pray and God can hear you and forgive you.
Mm.
They had to go to the source and connect to the source. But this Wi-Fi kind of salvation where you can connect anywhere, I'm sorry, it just came to my mind. But where you can just connect anywhere as long as you've got the password in the name of Jesus. I mean, we've been given the password, you know. Wherever you are, access granted. As long as you pray in the name of Jesus, you can do anything anywhere where you are. And if you are genuinely sorrowful for the sins you committed, God will forgive you wherever you may be. If you are genuinely sorrowful, God will forgive you because he has promised it. But let me throw in a spanner in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, whoever sins willfully will not be forgiven.
Mm.
Now, there's a verse in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews. I do not know if you have ever read that verse that is found in the book of Hebrews, because many people, in fact, there are two of them that come in my mind, but anyway, but many people do not know about this. They, I think they have not been schooled about this because the Bible tells us that he who sins willfully or knowingly, you know, mm-hmm. or he who sins knowingly, the Bible tells us that that person may not be forgiven. I don't know if you have your Bible. You can just read this one verse for me, Hebrews 10:26. Let's read it and then explain its connection with salvation as we rush towards
Hebrews 10.
The end. Hebrews 26, yes. Hebrews 10, verse 20.
I found it.
Okay. Yes, what does it say?
If we deliberately keep on singing after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left.
I don't know which version you're reading.
NIV.
I know it's fine. It makes it easy. But read it slowly. It says, if we what?
Deliberately keep on sinning.
Yes.
After we have received the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
No sacrifice for sin is left.
There is no sacrifice for sin that is left.
Mm.
So, here's the thing. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I know we abuse that statement. We just say it without understanding. And we say we are without understanding what we are saying.
Mm.
Here's how salvation works. When you are in a great what do I call it? When you are in trouble, or when you are facing problems, or when you are in a great form of hurt or harm, and you need a savior, and you are facing death as we saw from day one, and you need a savior, the savior does not save you until you need saving.
Mm.
Right? The savior cannot save he that does not need saving. So it takes a desperate man who needs saving for him to accept and appreciate a savior. Now, when a savior comes, when someone comes to save you, when you are desperately in need of that savior, you will not use your own thoughts. You will not use your own means or ways of salvation.
Mm.
It is when you're at the point of surrender where you will do anything that the Savior tells you to do in order for you to be saved. So what happens is whatever your plans are to save yourself did not work.
Mm.
But now someone now who has thrown in the lifeline and you are holding onto the lifeline. If the person says to you, look, because they are looking at you at an advantage point. If they say to you, a spin to the right or towards the right, you will do that without asking why.
Mm.
I hear a lot of Christians, they ask so many questions. And then I said to myself, these guys are not yet saved. Because Because, no, think of it. Genuine salvation, you don't ask questions. Not to say you must follow blindly. No. But it is, you ask questions before you are saved. When you are now saved, you no longer ask questions. Let's balance that up. You ask questions because questions are allowed. You ask them before you believe in the one. But when you have been convinced that this is the one, the fact that they have convinced you in the first place, you will no longer ask them questions later. Neither will you doubt them later because you know of the power of their salvation before. The questioning only comes because people have not been fully converted. And I can stand to be stoned on my statement. Many Christians are not yet saved. Many so-called Christians in courts, they are not Christians at all. They belong to the synagogue of Satan, Revelation chapter 3. They are not yet in the full conversion of who Christ is. If we understood genuine conversion, we will even understand what we mean when we say, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Many people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they have not accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Because what comes first is acceptance that you cannot do anything for yourself. So you are weak. Then you need someone who will save you. That person becomes your Lord first, before they are your Savior. Because you are saying, I am going to submit to whatever you are saying in order for me to be saved. So we accept Christ as our Lord first. Then he will save us. But many people want Christ to save them, but they don't want him to be their Lord.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way. Once he is our Lord, then he can save us. But he cannot save us unless he's our Lord. So many people are waiting for Christ. That's why when they pray, they only pray when things are wrong. But I understand Job. When Job is in problems, he understands that he is his Lord and Savior. That's why he says, shall we only receive that which is good from the Lord? The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is not concerned so much as to what his life is all about. As long as it is from the Lord, then he knows that if the Lord decides and chooses to save him, praise be to the name of the Lord. But if he decides that he will die like that, he will not sin against the Lord. Then the Bible says in Job chapter 1, it says, in chapter 2, it says, and Job did not sin against the Lord in all these things. He never sinned. So many people, if we could have the calamities, half a teaspoon of the calamities of Job, we will curse the Lord and no longer be a Christian. And we will say people will understand why we are no longer Christians. But it doesn't work like that, friends. We, our salvation is like a thief on the cross who understands that he is in that situation because of his doings. But there is grace that is next to him. And he does not pray for temporary release like his other friend on the other side, who says, if you are God, save yourself and save us. Because that salvation is temporary. But he understands that on the cross where he is, it is just but a minor thing. Worse is yet to come. If he is to be saved, he does not want to be saved from the cross, because the cross is a small thing. He wants to be saved from sin and death. And therefore he says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. So see, that's the level of genuine conversion, where you are not worried about the circumstances that you are going through every day. You are much more concerned about your spirituality and much more concerned about tomorrow. You will not abuse your salvation if you are like that. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. Because you then understand that, oh, when I was saved, I was dying. At that moment, I was dying, but my Lord came and saved me. And unfortunately, I'll say this online. Many people have not experienced the power of salvation. We're born in the church. We've been raised in the church. We haven't experienced that relationship where we can fully comprehend the power of God. We have not met it yet. We have only bubblegum kind of Christianity. That is only to we are drawn from our parents, but we are not detached from the everyday lives that we have been living in. We think we can make it on our own. We assume that we are able to do things on our own. The power of God is there, but we don't have a personal experience. But I'll tell you, the day you have a personal that comes to you face to face, doesn't matter what you have been going through, when you are saved, You will not even ask your mama whether this should I wear this or should I not wear this. You won't even raise your hand in church to say, a Christian supposed to drink the, what was the kind of wine that she was saying? Was it alcoholic or it was? If you are genuinely saved, you won't ask such a bubblegum questions. You will be sure of the one who saved you, and you will know what to do. Maybe to sum this up, when a lion comes, when lion comes, and it is coming for you, when you see it, you don't have time to ask questions. Should I run? Should I not? Or what speed should I run? Let's say if this lion is going to bite us, before it bites us and we have this chance to run, should we go to the left or should we go to the right? You see those kind of questions. My sister, when the lion is coming, you run. Whether you turn to the left or to the right, you will run towards where there is salvation, and you will not ask questions. Questions will come later. And friends, let me address the rest of the Christian community. We will have 1,000 years in heaven to ask questions. 1,000 years in heaven to ask questions. We will have it. We would rather not now and accept this great salvation and be saved. When we are in heaven and saved, when sitting there chewing the grapes of life, if there's anything like that, then we call like Hawo Simagate, you know, you call like, you know, a lot of lords. Tell us, what did you mean by this, by that? Did it really matter if I had two wives or one wife? You understand what I'm saying? But for now, our focus must be on salvation and not on things that do not bring salvation. Because genuinely, guys, salvation means accepting Jesus as our Lord. Whatever he says, like the Advent hymnal song that says, wherever he says we should go, we will go. Whatever he says we should do, we will do. We will not ask questions, but we will obey our master, whatever direction he takes us. Onward, Christian soldiers, that's what we do, marching as to war. Soldiers don't ask questions. When the marshal and the commander says, left turn, we turn to the left, we don't ask questions. When he says, quick forward march, we march forward to battle and to victory as well, because we know victory is certain. The one who leads us has never lost the battle. The one who is giving us instruction does not err, does not lie. The one who commands us to go, he never sleeps, he never slumbers. Therefore, if he is able to hold all the stars in the palm of his hand, he will be able to hold our name, ourselves as well. If he knows the names of the hairs and the numbers of the hairs on our head, surely he will know what my day looks like. He will know what tomorrow will look like. And if I put my trust in him, on Christ the solid rock, I will stand. All the other ground is sinking sand. I feel like preaching already. Let me calm myself down.
Calm down. Yeah, there is a comment here. But I know from this. We see Peter and Thomas questioning Christ and wait, where's the thing? Yeah, and all the disciples really. So yes, we can question Christ. But then the listener also mentioned something there, Guti. From the book of John 17, it seems that those who lose salvation were already doomed, saying that, and then he says that it's coming from the book of John 17, verses 12. In 3 minutes or so, Pundisi, to answer that as we wrap up.
Okay, the question there, I'm assuming it asks the question of predestination. So I will answer that very quickly. You see, God gave us the power of choice. Hence, the question of predestination does not exist. The fact that we have the power to choose whether to do right or to do wrong, even if God is an omniscient God and he knows everything, there is something that he has relinquished in his omniscience, and that is the power of choice. He relinquishes it by giving us that power of choice. Otherwise, he will not give us the power of choice if he already can determine what our choices are. He leaves it all up to us, because he has created us to be like him in mind, in thought, and in deed. Therefore, he does not allow us to follow him blindly, but he allows us to ask questions. But when we ask our questions are more to understand more about him, not to doubt existence. There's a difference. There are questions that doubt the sovereignty of God, and there are questions that seek knowledge and increase of faith. Therefore, we need to determine which questions do we ask him. God does not already doom people. Otherwise, salvation would have been in vain. He dies on the cross, his hands wide open, so that anyone, he says it even in John 3 verse 16, whosoever believes in him, it doesn't matter. There is no one who has been predestined for evil. There is no one. Everyone that God created, he created them so that they may be saved. It is possible that everyone can be saved. However, we do know because of the power of choice, others will choose not to be saved. And for those who will not, it's not because they were doomed to not be saved. No, but those who will not be saved, it is because they have already made the choice. Good thing the Bible doesn't mention names. It doesn't give to say, who are those who will say, Lord, we used to cast out demons in your name, and he says, I never knew you. He never says who it is. Therefore, the prerogative remains with you. Are you going to be that person or not? But like Joshua, as for me and my house, Mina, we will decide, me and Zanele, we will decide that we will remain faithful to God. Yeah. Because Zanele, if God knew where he took, if people knew where God took us from, I'm not talking about many people, I'm talking about you and me. And we know our story, where we came from. Hey. And the fact that God picked us up there more than 3 years ago, where he picked us up and where we are now. It takes someone else. It only takes God to understand the story of our salvation. Hence, I still stand by my fact that when we are still asking questions that are doubtful on the sovereignty of God, then we are still not yet saved. But we can ask questions that will help us better understand who God is for the betterment of our salvation, for the enlightenment of ourselves, for the enriching of our faith, so that we can walk a better walk with the one who has saved us.
Fundis, please pray and do the altar call for us.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of asking questions, the privilege of understanding you better. Bless us now, therefore, and help us to not only hear your word, but to do it as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Pastor Mafora, it's always a pleasure every time we speak to you. Thank you so much for that and for that one day. And yeah, we will not ask unnecessary questions. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. God bless you. And bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.